I've got a question for you based on the bit we just did off mic. Uh-huh. Have you ever been to Lambert's in Ozark, Missouri?
Home of the Throat Rolls? Oh, baby.
Home of the Throat Rolls.
Yeah, okay. Right away.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As
they burn your hand with the hottest rolls you've ever felt. They're just coming by putting okra on your plate. That's the craziest place. I love it's the Buc-ee's for food. It's
well, like, I've got a Buc-ee's hat on.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
You need we need a Lambert's hat, just a roll flying across the top of it.
I might be able to get one. One of my good pals used to work at Lambert's when we were in high school, and he was one of the roll throwers. Showing up in his little suspenders, just tossing rolls at old people.
It's a dream of mine. A dream of mine is just to be like, yeah, couldn't cut it as the quarterback, but you know, they play pretty well. They give me good benefits.
Putting a spiral on that roll.
Couldn't cut it.
Hitting a 2-year-old just dead in the forehead.
For those of you who are unfamiliar in the Ozarks, in the town of Ozark, there's a restaurant called Lambert's Cafe, which is a strange place where their whole thing is it's like huge portions, and also the teenage servers throw rolls.
They just throw them,
and that's how you get bread. Instead of, you know, like you go to an Italian restaurant, they put like a basket of bread on the table.
Yeah,
at Lambert's, it's a heads up, and they just throw the rolls.
Who's got hands?
And you gotta catch the roll.
Who's got hands? Raise them up.
It's endless rolls as long as you can catch. You can eat.
Well, I used to be a catcher in baseball, so I figure I'd be pretty good at that. Figure I'd get a lot of rolls.
I was destined. I was fat and a catcher. Yeah. Lambert's is where I was designed to be. They throw them straight out of the oven. They are coming in so hot, dude. Yeah. As soon as you catch it, you're like, oh, I can't. And then they just bring by and they're like, hey, do you want? You want okra? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then they pull out a ladle of okra and they put it on your plate. And then they're like, do you want any apple butter? And you're like, I don't know what the fuck
apple butter rules.
Had no idea. And then you get it. Also, so you know, if anybody is listening to this, it is in the Ozarks. It is also, there is one surprisingly in Foley, Alabama.
Oh,
I did not know that.
I don't know why. I don't know why it's over there, but it is. That's the place.
Whoa,
that
we are franchising.
Sounds like a weird divorce settlement. You know, like, what?
I'm moving the family to Orange Beach. We're taking the business to the coast.
We'll share the profits. Just don't talk to me. Okay?
Hey, people on the beach want to eat liver and onions, too.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Dude, there used to be this place. What was it called? Just outside, it was in Starlight, Indiana. It was like an hour drive from Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. And God, why can't I remember it? It was like a pumpkin farm and Huber's. That's what it was called, Huber's. And they had really good chicken and dumplings.
Huber's?
H-U-B-E-R.
Like Zach?
Yeah. And they had really good homemade like sweet biscuits, and they had fucking like ketchup bottle like looking thing, like condiment bottles of apple butter at every table.
Oh my gosh.
And the move was to do this, and everybody did it. You'd look around, you'd just see everybody doing it. Is you would take that like little fucking squeeze bottle and shove it into the biscuit and just fucking squeeze it.
It just inject it.
And
like a jelly donut.
Poured out. And it was one of the best things ever. Yeah.
Dude, I can't believe anybody has made it out of the Midwest or the South with both feet.
Right, exactly. I don't know how I'm healthy.
I can't believe anybody.
I know. Danny, that was like basically what you just described sounds like the rough draft version of the sloppy steaks.
Oh, yeah. But I mean,
here's an idea.
Hey, my daddy did it.
What if it's like a roll, but you have an injection of apple butter? Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. Maybe
my daddy did it.
Let's workshop that.
My daddy's daddy did it. My grandma did it. My grandma's grandma did it. I did it. You know?
You gotta fuck the biscuit. Yeah. Fuck the biscuit.
That's the different Peaches song.
The one that didn't make the cut. The one. Yeah, we'll use that for Jackass 2.5. We're not gonna put that one in the
fuck the biscuit. I mean,
that's a good country song. That'd be a good country song. That's a Wheeler Walker Jr. Exactly. A Wheeler Walker Jr. Yeah.
I mean, if there were like four goddamn like huge fucking comedy movie hits that were really huge about fucking an American pie, why can't you fuck a biscuit?
Fuck a biscuit. Yeah. The Southern American pie. Yeah. It'd be beautiful.
Southern American pie.
That's right.
Well, and then also, you know, you get your John Mellencamps in there and now you're sucking on a chili dog.
I want to see the Southern American Pie movie where the kid gets caught like putting his dick in a biscuit. But the problem is not that he's ruining food. They're just like, you're not married. You signed a contract when you were 13 that said you'd never do this.
I was at your confirmation ceremony. Take this pot and shove it.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to another episode of Take This Pod and Shove It, the podcast where comedians and country fans build the ultimate country playlist one song at a time. Happy New Year. This is the first episode of 2024. Here we are. We did it. A whole nother trip around this old marble. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Tyler Snodgrass. Joining me, as always, is the New Year baby himself, Danny Maupin.
Oh, hey, Danny. Yeah, I'm a little baby. I'm tiny, but I have opinions. So, what are you talking about? I mean, how can I work with that? Are you
kidding me? I don't know. I'm not making you do anything.
I'm riffing, you know. I'm doing what I can with what, you know, you
I you love know? That. I'm a baby, but I have.
I'm a little baby, but I do what a is lot that? Of.
I like milk.
Yeah, like what's a little baby's opinion? So I go, ooh.
I think soft carrots are better than most other food because I'm not aware of them.
I like to be swaddled. I'm. Whatever. Anyway, howdy, folks.
Honestly, I have a lot in common with babies, then.
I'm Danny Moffin. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, you shovelos, you shove heads, you dirty little shovel fuckers, you shove boat riders. I hope you put the star on the top of your shove tree for the holidays. I don't know. Sometimes it's up there pretty high. You got to use a ladder. And that's how you also get onto the shove plane that takes you all the way past the atmosphere so you can make shove love and anti-gravity. I'm Danny Maupin.
New year. Yeah. Basically same. same shovel.
Well, I don't have a lot of new thoughts. I'm a little baby. That's going to be me the whole
all
podcast.
Your thoughts are right.
I'm a little baby.
Just a baby character. Kind of sassy.
Yeah. Sassy baby. See,
very,
I like that.
Very weird bit.
Boss baby.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Assistant manager.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. I'm not a boss. They're like, if there's a chance, we're definitely going to go over your head for HR complaints.
Yeah, we're gonna outsource this job. Bring somebody in. well, tell you what, we are excited to be joined today by a good friend of the pod, a great comedian. We are welcoming back to the show, Stephen Taylor. How are you, Stephen? Happy New Year.
What's up, boys? Hello, little sexy babies. Hello, Tyler. It's good to be back. Thanks for inviting me back. I love it here. I love a baby with opinions. A baby with opinions is the only baby I want to hear
from.
Well,
I mean, it's the right side of like being innocent, but also seeing the world with new eyes, you know, that thing. And then also, but for some reason, having opinions.
Yes, new year, new baby. Which nipple do you prefer?
Oh, I'm always a lefty. Always. You can ask any of my ex partners. I'm a lefty.
I had one for 2 months. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had one for 3 months.
Oh, okay. Listen, I'm a right-handed man, but when it comes to titties, I'm southpaw, baby.
I hold with the right, I suck on the left. You know the deal. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, what you exactly signed up for. It's,
I grew up playing.
It's in the genes, daddy-o.
I grew up playing baseball. One's got to be in the glove. One's got to be in the shove. There you go.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
There's the intro there we needed.
We found it.
Well, for this episode, we're going to be actually looking back at the previous year. We're going to be talking about our favorite country albums from 2023. We did something like this last year, and it was a lot of fun, so we wanted to try to do it again. So Steven, Danny, and myself have all determined our favorite five country albums of 2023. We have not told each other what they are. We're going to reveal them, see where we overlap, where we don't. It's possible we'll only be talking about five albums today. It's possible we'll talk about 15 albums today. Right. I'm going to wager, actually, we're going to talk about 9 or 10. That's where I
that's
think.
That's your over under?
Let's
we'll
take
have
a guess.
Some overlap.
How many albums do you really think? Not 9 or 10. What do you really think it's going to be?
I would say that's about right.
That we're going to actually discuss.
Because
I think 10.
As we talked about a little previously before recording, I don't think I even have 5 to give. It's not that I didn't have 5 to listen to. It's just that I was not, other than doing the podcast and still loving country music and everything, and there's huge standouts. So I would say I have like 3. That like really rocked my world that I loved. But then I spent most of my other time like listening to music that makes you want to like cry in an alley or something.
Which sometimes is country music.
Well,
to be
and
fair.
That's
just
my number
this
one album too. It's the one that made me cry.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I guess what I mean is I anticipate some overlap, which means that's like an album that would count
right
for all
absolutely
of us.
But I'm saying I don't know if I have 5 this year.
So maybe we'll. Right. Well, me and Steve will pick up the slack because clearly we did.
Yeah, dude, you were a little baby.
I'm just a little baby.
You've only been out here for about 3 months.
Just a little baby.
You
that's
can't,
right.
Yeah, you can't.
It's okay. Don't judge
you
yourself.
Think I have.
You could only hear what was coming through your mother's belly, yeah, right?
The
you
headphones the on there.
So, yeah, exactly. Like
and she loves Sturgill, and he didn't put out anything
exactly
this year. It was a really, you know. You were.
He was in movies and TV shows, so, you know.
God, so many.
Yeah.
I know. Different year. Well, Steven, I'd love to start with you. Of course, we joined you, or sorry, of course, you joined us to discuss Turnpike Troubadours the last time you were on the program. So we have gotten your history on country music. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen. It's a ton of fun. Steven is a great resource for all things Turnpike. But let's just jump into your albums. Where can you take us? You get to tell us all 5 because you get to go first.
Okay, so I'm going all 5 straight down the list, right? Yeah. So Turnpike surprisingly did not make the cut. Wow. I was really going into this year thinking that Turnpike was going to be in my top 5, but they have like really good singles, but it just like it's so well produced that it doesn't feel like them, and it's not. I don't know what it is. There were a lot of surprises on
it's
my list.
It's not gritty enough
this year. It's not for them, for it's one of those relativity things where it's like, I know your older work and I'm kind of like hoping for that. And it just sounds like it's so clean and crisp. And I just, I felt myself wanting a little bit more. It was really good. Go listen to it. It's great. But my number 5 was Altitude, the Marty Stewart and his fabulous Superlatives. It rips, dude. It's so good. It's like cosmic. It's like Billy Strings and the Flying Burrito Bros, like, all kind of came together. It's like this perfect blend of old school and new school.
Sometimes you get to plant the grapes, but you never get to taste the wine. If you know what I'm talking about, you're a friend of mine.
Excites me because you know what? I didn't know that that happened. And everything you just said,
neither did
I. Everything that you just said to me, I'm turning this on right after we stop recording so I can listen to it because I love Marty Stewart and I love Cosmic Country and I love Billy Strings. So you just, you, I don't know. You hit all my buttons right there.
I didn't know that it came out either, but it just dropped.
Said that one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Have you listened to it?
I listened to it right when it came out and I totally forgot about it. I even have a playlist that I try to maintain of like all my favorite stuff from 2023. And I realized I somehow neglected to put that on there, but I listened to it when it came out and thought it was great. It came out in like May
or
something, I think. So I totally forgot. That's such a great pull. I love
it. I had the albums that I had like planned to listen to this year that I thought were going to be in my top. And then when you hit me up and were like, hey, do you want to go through the top albums? I was like, yeah, I should do my research. I listened to Luke Combs and Jelly Roll for this. You have no idea how much effort I put in. I put on the Morgan Wallen CD and I was like, God help me. I can do this. I believe in myself. I just wanted to give it a fair shot.
I'm amazed.
That's nice of you.
I did listen to some Luke Combs. I didn't listen to Jelly Roll for this, but I listened to the Luke Combs album Everybody Loves. And it's, you know, the thing is, it's like, I get why people like it. It is also largely mega church country.
Oh, for sure.
Yes, it dude. Like, it's like, it's a very big, it's a whole lot of not bad.
Right.
It's a whole lot of, okay. Yes.
And emotional swells and a lot of like,
yeah.
Is this what?
Yeah, it's Hillsong country.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Hillsong,
exactly. Country for the hill song.
Yeah. And if you don't know, now you know. You know, like.
But one of the cool things about that album that I was like looking it up before I got on here. It's one of the last recordings from Pig Robbins. So he's playing like piano.
Oh, wow.
On a lot of it, and it's a lot of cool. It's a lot of fun. So number four. Right. I'm going all the way down.
Sure.
This one was tough. This one kind of went back and forth. Family Ties by Charles Wesley Godwin.
Strike me down if I could. Family Ties.
Is like such a good concept. Like all the way through, it just like pulls the heartstrings. It's, you know, it's, I don't know. It just, it touches you in a way that a lot of the other albums didn't. And there's not really a miss.
Sure.
So like I felt I was entertained the whole way through, which is a big thing. That's why Cat in the Rain didn't make it.
Uh-huh.
Zach Bryan didn't make it on mine, even though I think he had a good album, but that one was, I'm spoiling this.
It's okay. No, it's all good.
But it's like,
I'm glad you included that one.
I like for something to have like, you know, if I'm putting on an album, I want act one, act two, and act three to hit. If I'm giving you an hour of my time, like I need it to all be there. Yeah, that one was a lot of fun. The third one was
let's stay on that album for a second, because I think that album is good. It did not make my list. I think I probably just needed some more time with it because I've enjoyed it. But it is one of the few really long albums that came out this year, I think, minus like the Morgan Wallen album, I guess, which because he's always doing double albums or whatever. But that album is an hour and 10 minutes. And I feel like we had a string of country albums this year where they're all like 25 minutes long.
Yeah, like Tyler Childers put out like a 7-song album and stuff like that.
Totally. And I think it's impressive that this guy, because it's his major label debut or something like that, and he actually managed to have like a really strong output on a long album. That's not often what people do.
Yeah. And I think that played into my decisions, because there were albums that I would probably go back and listen to more because they're shorter. But like the Childers and like Wyatt Flores, like he put out like a 6-song album. And part of me is just like, this isn't an album.
Yeah, these are EPs.
This is a project. This doesn't count to me. Like I've got like got to be 9 or 10 songs minimum somewhere around there. But yeah, it was, I mean, it was just like, it really was touching. I don't think it's like as entertaining, but it was definitely the most like sincere album I listened to that like hit me in all the right spots as somebody who's like got a weird family situation, is going on the road, is like has been divorced. Like, it just kind of like touched everything that I needed it to touch.
Oh yeah.
And instead of going to therapy, I just listened to that album. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I'll feel you on all those other things though.
Yeah. Me and you were Danny's in the same boat. Like, Tyler's just chilling.
Tyler's just having the time of his goddamn life. And
Tyler's like, you know what? I don't know why that song, why that album didn't really resonate with me that much.
He seemed a little sad.
I know I'm living with my partner in New York City. We don't have any family nearby to speak of.
That's true.
Yeah. I think you just made him sad. I just saw him.
I know. I felt bad about it immediately. That's what the album did to me.
What's going on? Steven, I was just thinking, since September, and you can relate to this as a longtime and former teacher, I've been too tired to feel almost anything. I've just been like trying to feel awake for 4 months.
Nothing is worse than knowing that if I don't show up to my job, there will be 30 children unsupervised. So there's no longer like
that is,
I can just be late.
That can put a little guilt on your conscience for sure. I mean, like, all right, there's just 30 kids running around. Like, nobody knows what to do with them. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, what else?
Should I go to number three? My number three, I had not heard of this artist before this.
My number three, I've not listened to.
Not at all. No, I just kind of, I printed out a list. I put them all in a hat and I drew and I said, ooh, pretty nice.
Morgan Wallen.
All right.
No.
I'm looking at Rodrigo.
Yeah, I actually thought Megan Thee Stallion put out a really comprehensive country.
Because it has stallion in the name. We're like, she's into horses.
She's from Texas.
No, it's a rodeo concept album.
What are you gonna do? It's
like Megan Knees from Barrel Racing. She's my number three was Valley of Heart's Delight by Margot Silker, I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, I think so.
That's
too.
That's a great album.
Yeah.
So I listened to this. This album's great, top to bottom. There's not a lot of misses. Like the three songs that I noticed a lot that really stuck out to me, Steelhead Trout.
Dude.
I remember Carolina is so good. And then given like ever, dude, Crazy or Died, like just put me in such a weird headspace. Danny, have you heard this album?
Yeah. No, I did listen to that one. I've only probably listened to it a couple of times, but I did really enjoy it.
Everybody I look up to is going crazy or died is just like such a refrain to like, God, hold on to. Like it sticks with me this entire time. And but I listened to her old album after this because this was so good. And it's fucking incredible. It's dude, I can't believe I missed it. It was in 2021 and it's like, she fucking rules. Like she's my new favorite Margot. Get out of here, Robbie and Price. You're gone.
Price.
It's Silker now. This is a Silker country.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm on the Silker Road.
I don't know who you just talked about because I'm in my second trimester. I'm a little baby. Oh my God. No, I know who you're talking about. Just had to do something silly. Sorry.
Brought it back.
I'm real gooey right now. It's hard to hear. Yeah. My ears haven't developed.
Daisy. I don't even have placenta on the floor yet.
Are you reverting to a fetus?
He's Benjamin Buttoning the baby.
Hey. There's nothing like it, you know. Like that's what that line from Dazed and Confused is really all about. It's like they can go older and I stay the same age, or they keep. That's just me. That's just my life. That's just. I keep regressing. I'm constantly regressing.
It's been a theme on the show.
Yeah.
It's not just taking physical form.
No.
In a terrifying way.
I have a strong companionship with mental health. I should say that. But I really like stupid jokes.
Okay.
That's it.
Hi, this podcast should be sponsored by BetterHelp, but it is.
No, they denied us.
This is bad for our brand.
They're like, can't do anything for us. You know?
We are sponsored by the illegal dog fight outside of Waffle House. Yeah. That is what we're
sponsored by. That's only because I owe them a lot of money.
Use discount code SHOVE.
Just the two kennels across the parking lot both have a Take This Pod and Shove It banner draped over the top.
Absolutely. And listen, and they probably don't want me saying this as, you know, them being our sponsors, but the real way to win on that gamble, you know, is watch what dog takes a shit right before. They're lighter.
Mm. Oh, that's how you lighter. Know. That they're going to be lighter, quicker, faster. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Promo code SHOVEL, and you can get 20% off our Take This Pod and Shove It collar and chain leash combo.
And it is an electric shock collar, which
and a very thick metal chain, so you will hurt you too in the process. Yeah,
you're gonna get hurt.
And I've been legally prescribed to wear it every day.
legally prescribed. Yeah, a judge prescribed me.
Yeah, I mixed up a few professions there.
Restraint. That's painful restraint.
Oh, I like that idea though. I'm like, Dr. Judge has a gun. Dr. Judge.
Are you ready? Daytime TV, it's Dr. Judge Steve Harvey. Yeah.
You can't starve the Harv, man. You can't starve the
Harv. He's going to eat. Boy's going to eat.
Kids eat.
The Harv wants what it wants.
The Harv.
The Harv wants. And it's probably hot biscuits thrown at him. It's
probably so, yeah. Survey says.
Yeah. I'm having a Harv attack.
Harv attack.
Oh, but I do.
Valley of the Harv's Delight.
Oh, there it is.
Family Feud can give you Harv attack, 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 attack. You know, man.
God, dude, that Fallout Boy song came out this year. Wow.
I didn't know about
we
that.
We didn't start the fire verse. Oh, yeah, you said the ack, 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 ack. It made me think Billy Joel, which made me think Fallout Boy.
Totally forgot that they rebooted We Didn't Start the
what
Fire.
What a bummer of a song that is. It's 9/11, so LeBron James. It's terrible. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
I saw the lead singer sing the national anthem at a Chicago Bears game like 8-9 years ago or something like that. It was the worst. It sucked so bad. I was like, oh, say, can you see? Exactly.
The Stump Spangled Banner.
I was taking a knee before Kaepernick on that shit. I was just like, nope.
I'm protesting Patrick. Oh, God damn.
Before we get your number two, Steven, I do want to echo the sentiment, spoiler alert, it's one of mine, that was one of my albums too, but Valley of Heart's Delight has truly taken me by, it's been a dark horse favorite for me for the entire year, but I've only known about it for a couple months, and I'm big on Margo. I need to listen to her earlier stuff a bit closer, but I've just been spinning this one like over and over again. There's truly not a miss, and I'm with you. Crazy or Died, especially, is like touching and crazy. Steelhead Trout is one of the silliest, most fun country songs I've heard in a long time. And even the track opener, Lowland Trail, is just like, I just want to go on a hike to that song and have it on loop for an hour. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it is a fantastic. I should revisit it more for sure. So wait, are we going on to number two? Who does number two work for?
Number two.
Number two. Number two, Tootie and the Blowfish. Number two is it's Weather Vanes by Isbell and the 400 Unit. It was going to show up somewhere, and I thought it was going to be number one. My number one took me by surprise, but it was number two. This is what I wrote about Weather Vanes, and what I love about Isbell is that, and especially this record, it is the opposite of Yellowstone. Yeah. I've never seen Yellowstone, the TV show. What I imagine Yellowstone, the TV show is, it's all the worst people telling me I should watch it. And when I see the trailers, it's always like small town folk doing like insane shit. So it's like people feel represented by these characters, but then they get the John Wick action of like, oh, what if Uncle Danny was also in a crime syndicate in Montana? Right. Like you're like painting these pictures. And Isbell does the opposite where he like makes these massive molehills out of such mundane fucking relatable characters that you can't leave the album without being like, God, I know exactly that person, or that is me, or that is a situation that I have been through. Like every single song, and I'm like I'm an Isbell fan. I love everything he's done with the 400 Unit. I think this, like, there are some other albums that have better songs. Like, I think if We Were Vampires is like one of the best love songs ever written, right? I don't know if this album has one of those where it's like, this is the best song. But comprehensively, I was just like, dude, every song hits. Death Wish is so fucking like heart wrenching. Yeah. King of Oklahoma made me cry. It reminded me of Tulsa's Last Magician a little bit, like just because it was like it's like that same kind of feeling. And then Cast Iron Skillet's just so
well. Great. How are you gonna hate Cast Iron Skillet? It's a weapon. It's a cooking utensil.
Daddy said
it's a maze.
Also, that I love that he slips in a classic joke in Cast Iron. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. Don't drink and drive. You'll spill it. That's like such like Southern Midwest humor. Yeah. It catches me off guard every time, even though I know all the words of that song now. And I'm just, but I never sing it anticipating it. The joke still works. Every time.
It's one of those I listen to it, I think. Just works.
It's one of those prines. It's one of those priny, and you know, you're just like, huh, wow, isn't that fun? That's nice. It just tickles. It's like a little heart tickler. Yeah. You're just like, oh yeah, that's good. What a good song. It feels like when you write a good joke, you're like, oh wow, that was solid. Yeah. Wow, look at me. Yeah.
We can just keep using that one for a while.
I guess that's great. I guess I am an orator.
And don't get sick of that. That's a big old word for a baby.
Oops. Sorry. This is the dumbest new character that's ever come up in the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And there are several. This is the dumbest
that's
one.
That's true.
Second trimester.
Reverse
Danny.
Aging baby new year is, just... It's like a Conan character that would not actually even make it to air. And those characters were bad on purpose.
Yeah, it wouldn't beat out Masturbating Bear. But... But...
One thing I want to add to the Isbell album is it's such a great, I mean, it's in his voice. It's like, you're a fan, you're going to enjoy this already. Cause it's like, he's doing what he does best. But I feel like this has more like ripping guitar than some of the previous stuff, like a little bit. He's always, it shows off his chops, but I feel like this one has a real rock element that is not overpowering, but like is inserted at really essential moments, and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, he's not like showing
genres even within like a single song.
Not showing off, but like also like elevating the song with really ripper skills, you know. And but like making sure it's in the right moment, you know.
Yeah, he's putting the lime in the coconut. He's like, it's not what you want all the time, but when you mix it all in a lot, like it's a good, it's perfect. It's what you need.
Yeah. I've never heard it put like that, but I'm down. All right, I'll take
I've also never had lime in a coconut. I got no fucking clue if that's good.
Yeah.
And I can't I'm also a little baby.
Doctor!
I'm a little baby. So. I don't know why I keep saying
all right, it. And you're number one, which, Steven, so these are these actually ranked, or are you just
these are ranked. Off? These are in my
impressive.
Order. I just listened to Altitude, and so I think that one's going to grow. Like, I think that one's going to continue to move up because, I mean, I really, like, just listened to it. And as soon as I turned it on, I was like, oh, this fucking rips. This is exactly what I wanted to listen to. But my number one, and I really did not expect that. I like this dude, but I found myself, like, loving this album, and I've come back to this album more than any other album, and I continue to listen to a lot of the singles. It's All Bad by Nick Shoulders.
Wanted for nothing with a bad luck streak. I turned a rock over in every creek. Whistled strong because my body was weak. It didn't feel all bad. Can't complain, cause who would listen? You wouldn't envy mine.
Have y'all?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I have?
I have.
The Ozarkian.
Yes, and that is a real that's a real tonal switch, because that's like old timey sing along with a new bent kind of music. That's great. I
yes.
love that pick.
He yodels, he whistles, he's got like it's a really good kind of the same as Marty Stewart, where Marty Stewart is this older dude doing this blend of like newer and a little bit older cosmic country. It's like he's coming in and making yodeling punk rock.
Nice.
Like it's like I've seen him live, and he's awesome. But there's one thing about this album that like keeps me coming back to it, which is one, it's political in a way that is not insufferable.
Okay.
Like sometimes my thing with Isbell is I'm like, brother, you are stabbing this dead horse. Like you've got to like just let it go. You got to find another tonal way of doing it. And Nick Shoulders is so tongue in cheek. And such a funny writer, and is the music so interesting. And then there's one track where he's just playing the jaw harp. He's playing the fucking mouth bow. And he's like, it's an instrumental track that me and my girlfriend were just dancing to. Like, I mean, like it's got like a, almost like a hip hop type, like there's like an under tracking of like, it's like a dance mouth bow music. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but it's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I loved it. And I keep coming back to those songs repeatedly. Some of them sound a little similar, but the writing is just so good and so interesting that I, it stayed on
top.
That's
awesome. I have to probably give that one another listen, because I think I only listened to even just like a couple of songs off of that album. But I did enjoy them, but I guess they just got lost in the sauce, you know?
Also, an embarrassing thing, you guys know I did that podcast where we listen to old people's or people's old sets and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And one time we didn't have sets, so we were listening to old notes. And one of the first comedy jokes I ever wrote, because I wanted to be a truth teller, I wanted to speak truth to power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was writing because I was smoking weed in my suburban backyard. And I was like, God, these fences divide us. That's what they do to us. They try to separate us. And this is before I had ever started comedy. I was trying to write jokes about fences. And it is the worst thing I've ever put out into the world. It hurts me to think about. And then he wrote Won't Fence Us In, and I went, the bastard did it. And I think one of the songs that gets lost there is the title track, is All Bad, because I think maybe the three of us might be able to relate to this. I didn't think about this until just now, but when you're from a smaller town or an area like that, and people are like, God, how did you ever stay there? Oh my, you know, people from like Denver or Chicago or New York are like, God, you grew up in the Ozarks. God, your life must have been terrible. And it's like, no, it's not all bad. Right. And he paints these pictures of what's like the great parts about it. But then in the song, he also takes a turn, and one of the verses is like suburban developments and, back row Baptists, like just these things. And he's like, and some of it is all bad. Like some of it is dog shit. And it's like, again, he's talking a lot about class in a way that I don't think is divisive. And I think is like more true. That album felt closer to like a Hank Williams Sr. Mm-hmm. than anything else
it's more I've heard in storytelling, a while. Picture painting, you know, for somebody that's never been there. Like, let me literally, like, let me explain what this life is like.
Right.
This life was very pleasant and very sweet and very nice. Doesn't mean everybody around me was, but.
Yeah.
Right. Know?
But it's a good way to live in a small town. It's way better than Jason Aldean saying that, try this in a small town, which I'll go ahead and tell you right now is my least favorite country song that came out this year.
Really? That album took all five of my songs.
Yeah, you're right.
I expected, but I gave it an honest listen. And it turns out it rips. That's a great pick, Steven. I love that you included that. Danny, you said you've only got like three. So would you like to go next? And I'll just see what's left on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I really loved the new Coulter Wall album from this year.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Won't get much on mountain high, except older, the figure high. Got filled big empty with little songs.
Yes.
So good. And like also a little different for Coulter Wall. You know, Coulter Wall's got songs like Kate McKinnon and like, you know, about murder ballads and everything like that. But he was a little more lighthearted, a little more upbeat on this new album.
It's like kind of playful, this album.
Yeah. And it worked really well.
Yeah.
It really does sound. Yeah, it really is like an album of songs you would sing to yourself to entertain yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a lot of fun.
And it had like it incorporated a little bit of the, which is weird because he, you know, he's like from Saskatchewan. I don't know. I said that Cajun. I'm the Cajun Canadian now. All of a sudden,
I feel like that just started the. You're going to restart the French and Indian War pronouncing it like that.
Saskatchewan. I go poutine up in Saskatchewan. And well, you put a little.
I got that gator poutine.
You get a little cheese curd on the gravy with the papa's fritas. Saskatchewan up and down. Anyway. But what I'm saying is that he's from northern, almost bumfuck Canada, you know, and he incorporated like
he's from the plains.
Yeah.
He's a plainsman from the plains of Canada.
But he incorporated like a fair amount of like the Tejano sound and everything that's like more like southwestern and everything, southwestern America, which is 4,000 miles away from where he's from or something like that too, and. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed hearing him be happy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It is a nice change. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the fact.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very different than The Devil Wears a Suit and Tie.
Yeah,
you know? It's a different.
Yeah, I murdered Kate McKinnon. Yeah.
I murdered somebody. Somebody didn't want to hook up with me in a bar, so I fucking hated them for the rest of my life. I'm just running the horses and cows around, but then now all of a sudden he's like, "Hey, guess what? I know how to smile." You know.
I was listening to that album when I was driving. I went to LA for the first time, and so I drove from Kansas City, and then I drove back. So I was driving back through Arizona and New Mexico. And, you know, just doing like the desert kind of wandering. And that album is perfect for that kind of just open landscape. Yeah. It is like you do just kind of want to pull over and start a fire and just roast a can of beans.
Right. It is true cowboy stuff, but it's like the cowboy stuff that like I grew up like listening to, like watching movies with my grandpa and my father and stuff like that, where every now and then, even every fucking John Wayne movie or something like that would have some drifter cowboy or whatever involved that would sing a song out of nowhere. And it was always sweet and beautiful, and it lifted their spirits. That's the feeling I get from that Coulter Wall album, you know.
A little drifter coming in.
Yeah. And God, I didn't even say the name of the album, did I? Little Songs.
Little Songs.
Yeah, which is also a perfect description. It's also a perfect description of Coulter Wall. He's like, listen, I'm not going to give you too much fluff. These are little songs. Here we go.
That's true. There's never any fat on any of his albums. And he makes all of his albums very intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that includes this one, even though it's a little more playful and lighthearted. It's still this is the concept. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is the vibe for the album. Yeah.
And then, so then we're going to do three. So number two, who does number two work for? I only like saying that because it makes Tyler laugh. It's not good for anybody else.
It took Tyler's laugh to get me to laugh.
Yeah, exactly. He had to coach it out of me. Yeah, at least it's contagious. Anyway, I think this is probably going to be an overlap for you and me, Tyler. Rainbow Wheel of Death by Dougie Poole.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the rainbow wheel of death. You spin is all I know. I'm waiting here for so long.
So great. It's still so great, but I really loved that album. And it was a little different for Dougie Poole, too, considering what was his album called before that?
God. It's The Freelancer's Blues with Vaping on the Job.
Which had a little more of oddly electronic feel and stuff like that or whatever. And this was much more full band, full on country, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's a little bit of there's still some of the bedroom elements to a few songs, like on High School Gym, for example. But then he gets really country, countryer than I think even previously on a few songs, like Nickels and Dimes and Beth David Cemetery and stuff
Beth
like
David
that.
Cemetery
it's like,
such
this
a
is,
great song.
It's a great song. And you can tell him playing with a pedal steel player on the road and stuff like that has influenced the tone and the songwriting a bit. And that's a really solid album.
I don't think that I know Dougie Poole. I think I saw that on a few, oh, hey, this album came out, but I don't think that I've caught them at all. And I just added that to the album list. So I will get back to you. I will let you know.
Hit us up. Also, listen to the song Vaping on the Job. I feel like that's
it's a great song.
You're going to love it.
And I Was Buddha for a Couple Days. Oh, what a fucking fantastic song.
Oh, that rules.
But I really enjoyed his divergence into Rainbow Wheel of Death. Great musician, very funny. And sweet, and sometimes just a couple lines will literally punch you in the gut. You can't avoid it. You're just fuck, okay. And that's what I love about Dougie. And then number one, like I said, it was a pretty emo year for me. It was pretty ups and downs, you know what I mean? But so Zach Bryan became my number one album.
He said the sun's gonna rise tomorrow, somewhere on the east side of sorrow. You better pack your bags, stick out your chest, and then hit the road.
Zach Bryan was definitely I look back at it and I looked on my Spotify and even just, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, but even just that poem that's at the very beginning of his new self-titled album or whatever, I think I listened to that. The stats were 1,500 times or something like that, just alone. And it's just a poem. You know what I mean? I spent a lot of my time listening to that, and then Overtime, which is a great tune, and there's just a bunch of great songs on that album. That album flows really well together, and I guess some people have maybe had some criticism about it. It's nothing was really explosive out of it, but I was whatever really has been for Zach Bryan, it's more the lyrics and just the musicianship. And I think he pulled off a fantastic album, and I'm really excited it wasn't 27 songs long. Like, it's like,
amen.
Yeah. Like his previous.
Yeah. This little baby's trying to figure himself out, but he doesn't have all fucking day. Okay.
That's exactly.
I mean, it's to me, it's a no skipper.
That's true.
Like, I could listen to that thing all the way through. And I guess Spotify told me that I did a lot or whatever.
Dude. Casey Musgraves on that feature. I remember everything. And then Warren Treaty, their song with him, that Hey Driver song is so good that it made me, I was like, I got to go listen to Warren Treaty's new country album, which was like close for me.
Really?
It was a really, really good album. But yeah, that Zach Bryan self-titled is thankfully what 14 songs
maybe less even
so nice. It's like much better than I think anything else that he's put out, especially comprehensively, right. Like I really dug that.
It's I mean, he still put out an EP that feels like a companion.
Dude, you and I texted each other the day it came out and were like, have you listened to this dog shit? I was so mad. I saw that it was Zach Bryan and Bon Iver and I was like, yes, I'm going to cry. And then I listened to it in the Taco Bell parking lot and was like, I can't believe this man did this to me. 9 songs of you just couldn't scrap it. All you had to do was leave these on a flash drive, Zach. Just leave
just let him sit. You know? Even Prince had a back catalog. Just chill out, dude.
He's leave it to the estate.
I know. It's like, that's what I loved about the self-titled Zach Bryan album is we were like, oh man, this guy's maybe figuring out how to edit. And it's like, no, he's just, figuring out how to release things differently. Yeah. But I mean, I do like that EP. I think that like 9 Balls a strong track. I feel like it's like a coda to the self-titled. It's not as strong as a self-titled, but I feel like I almost consider them one big project. Cause what the EP came out like, I don't know, 15 days later or something
like
that. He's
like incredibly prolific, like almost to a fault.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that, like, I don't mean that in a way, like, I really don't think there's a bad song that Zach Bryan's ever put out, but, but having that much music is also like, well, what makes this one special? You know,
it's kind of intimidating and it can be. Yeah.
Sometimes Zach Bryan reminds me of like somebody like Mark Normand where you're like, okay, the jokes are good. Uh-huh. A lot of them are similar. Some of these you probably could have done a quick 30 instead, like it's like it's just this it's this melding thing where like I really think he figured out a lot on this one, or his team was just like, Zach, it's done. It's it's good. You can leave it here.
It's like that. It's the opposite of that new Metallica record that's a double disc reason. And it's a lot of just like, I can feel like I'm like checking my watch while I listen to it. And I'm like, it's not that it's bad, but can we move it along?
Right.
Maybe, fellas?
No, but I mean, and like I said, but that I have to give credit to Zach for that because I mean, that album did really speak to me a lot this year with, I won't get into it, but I went for some stuff. And and it was a great – listen, if I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be fucking sad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, guys.
I'm going to get it done. I'm going to push it through. And
dig in your heels.
And Zach really helped.
Look, I had a really tough year. I came into an 88 Ford that I drove around with a little Labrador, and those albums really – they spoke to me. They really.
Why not, man? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. But I mean, I think he's a fantastic lyricist and very easy to be like relatable to, especially.
Yeah.
And for someone going through shit, you know what I mean? Or whatever. Because it seems like he's gone through plenty as well. Like everything's believable. It's not a facade, you know?
And I dare say, obviously, he has like he's got a few tricks that he employs quite often. He's got a distinct style. Yeah. He is, and this isn't a dig or anything, but he is parodable at this point because I feel like if you're in the know, you could be like, "Oh, this is the Zach Bryan sound." I could, you know, imitate this for effect because he's mastered this style that he's created so well. And, but I feel like on this album, he switched it up more than he did on American Heartbreak, like stylistically. And also, I think he got better at writing hooks. Yep. I think the hooks are more diverse and they swing a little wider. And I think, I think that's all good stuff.
I completely agree. So those are my top three. I didn't. If you want to know my top like 10 of the whole year, it was probably like My Morning Jacket, Rage Against the Machine, and you know, the Get Up Kids, and like just all. I can't say any of these albums are from 2023 or country, but that's what I was doing.
Yeah, but that's what happened. Yeah.
Sufjan.
Well, that's
Sufjan.
Tyler. That's
my shit.
Oh, is that that's Tyler's alley? Yeah, yeah, a little banjo boy.
I'm a little banjo baby.
I'll play Casimir Pulaski Day for you right now. Yeah. I'll sing all about bone cancer, make you cry.
Well, that's a good way to get into you there, Tyler. What are your top five?
Well, I tell you what, fellas, I was a little, I bet a little bit high on the amount of albums that we would talk about. Because while I'm tempted to be cool and throw out some other stuff and say, oh, you know, well, there was that Turnpike album. There was Sonny War put out a great album. Uh-huh. You know, there is that Joshua Ray Walker covers album.
I should, I'll give an honorable mention to that Joshua Ray Walker covers album. I do listen to that a lot. I love that. It's so good.
Did either of y'all get a live album on there? Because this was also the year of live albums. Like there were so many dope ass live. Dude, Charlie Crockett live at the Ryman. Jesse Daniel live in Santa Cruz.
Oh, I haven't listened to that.
And Billy Strings, I think, has a live album. And they all like, dude,
they just crush.
So
good. I did listen to that Billy Strings album.
I didn't put them in because, you know, it is what it is. Because
they're technically compilations, they're really, but it's like still a release. Yeah.
Oh, and then of course I'm also tempted to throw out that new Vincent Neil Emerson album, which I think is quite good. But if I'm being honest, we've already named my top five.
All of them?
If I'm being Whoa. Real with you guys and you deserve me being real, my top albums are, and maybe this is close to the order, but not exactly the order. I would say Zach Bryan, Weather Vanes, Valley of Heart's Delight, Little Songs, and then I think Rainbow Wheel of Death was my favorite country album of the year.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Those are the five that I kept coming back to.
That's awesome. So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really happy to hear about your suggestions, Stephen, because there's a few of those that maybe you'll only listen to like once or maybe just a couple of tunes from the album at all. And so I'm excited to go check back into that stuff. But like I said, I was too much in I want to break stuff mood.
You're still listening to Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit, exactly. I was setting y'all up for that.
Limp Bizkit with apple butter.
That's
we're back.
Well, which, by the way, have you guys seen Fred Durst is kind of gone cowboy?
Yes, dude, it rules.
Yeah.
It made me want to go to a Limp Bizkit concert. I mean, I've always kind of wanted to go to a Limp Bizkit concert, but now
like nine of them. It's like.
I was at Woodstock 99.
Rolling in Woodstock, the shit. Yeah.
2019. We just did it ourselves.
I should walk that back because, like, I mean, no, not the fact that I've probably been to 9 Limp Bizkit concerts because I have, but I didn't want to break anything. I was just like, I can't listen to anybody emote right now. Because I'm doing all of it.
You were broke in.
Yeah, exactly.
You were.
Because I'm doing all of the emoting right now that the world can handle. Like, I'm okay. I'll say that.
Sure.
I'm okay.
Great. Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm okay.
We believe you. Yeah. You look great for a baby.
We believe you. I've never seen a baby punch drywall before, but you seem fine.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm a very strong baby. I'm a really strong baby.
Little soft, just little jelly hands.
Yeah.
like one of those stick'em things, yeah. You know, one of those like little sticky hands that you would throw. Yeah.
Toddler fist going at the drywall. Why not? No, I just like
throwing a Stretch Armstrong.
No, but I mean, I did step away a little bit from country this year because country, as I love it so much, does still always
makes you feel things.
Yeah, it's always been my music to feel things. And there was a bit of time where I wanted to just be numb. I guess that's what I'll say.
I get that, man. Hey, we all go there. You know me, I go through a phase where I'm like, well, I've listened to too much Sufjan and too much country music. Yeah. I guess I'll listen to hair metal for a month and see if that.
Dude, mine's always I'm skydiving, I'm falling from the sky, and then I pull the ripcord and it is just aggressive hip hop. It's just like, I'm tired of Did anybody say death grips?
Yeah. We've all got our solution. Well, that's great. So between the three of us, we've have a pretty strong consensus of eight excellent albums from 2023. So if we missed any that you think we should definitely listen to, please email us at takethispodshow@gmail.com. Let us know what we should catch up on. And if you haven't listened to the ones we recommended, well, hey, if you're listening to this, we hope you trust us and give them a listen. Let us know what you think. Steven Taylor, one of my favorite guys. Thanks for coming back on the program. It's at the time of this release, it is January 2024. I don't know if you know what's going on with you, but please tell people how we can keep up with your comedy.
Dude, thanks for having me. I love doing this. Love talking shop. It's at formerly Fat Steven on everywhere. You can Instagram, website, whatever. I'm going to be in Denver until January 12th, and then I'm going to be in the great city of Manhattan, Kansas, and then I'm going to be
teasing
me. Yeah, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the first weekend in February, and Fargo, North Dakota, which I don't know if I'm going to make those gigs. I do have to find a feature with a four-wheel drive.
Right?
We're going to see.
That's up north.
We're gonna see if we can. We're going to see if we can do that. I'm kind of bouncing all over. As Tyler knows, I lost my teaching job this year and am constantly, I will now live on the road. So if you're hearing this, I will be near you sometime, I promise.
And you check out Steven too. A very, very, very funny man. Hilarious, great at stand up. Listen, I'm sorry you lost your job, but I'm happy you're doing what you're doing because
I am not. I've traded with Tyler. I know that we lost one bad teacher and we gained one pretty good teacher who's in over his head. And that's enough for me. I think that's what the world needed. Karmically, it balances out.
The universe is balanced.
It all works out.
Sure.
I guess.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Steven, fantastic.
Yeah, such a good comic. Also, obviously, a good guy. And if you don't follow Steven on like TikTok and social media, you can go back and see the whole saga because, dude, you were so funny about it. And obviously, every teacher I know was up in arms in your defense. But it is good that you came through the other side and you're doing what you love, man. That's really great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, fellas. I'm glad this is what I get to do now. This is what I'm getting paid for. Am I getting paid for this, by the way? Am I?
We will talk off mic
I'm
about
just a
that,
little,
actually.
Okay.
We I don't you, know what currency is.
We thought you might
I'm
pay us,
baby.
But we'll figure it out.
I'm just a little baby, so I'm not sure.
I don't have any money.
I haven't learned capitalism yet. That's going to be my new defense to get out of anything. I'm a baby.
I'm a baby. Well, Steven, thanks again for joining us for this episode. And thank you all for listening to Take This Pod and Shove It. We're so glad that you're here with us. Even after all these years and beers, we've got a Patreon. If you feel like supporting the show, that's patreon.com/takethispod, where we've got bonus episodes and all sorts of other good stuff. You can follow us on Instagram at takethispodandshoveit. If you are a patron, you get to be our close friend where we post the real hot takes and the naughty memes that are not
suited. But since I'm a little baby, it's
where
I post the real hot makes. That's a That's a dirty diaper joke. There we go.
Ooh, that turd's rated B for baby.
I don't know why I like it. I don't know why I like saying it so much.
I love it.
It's not good.
I'm a little sexy baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to see my little tushy? I'm a little sexy baby.
That's actually, that's too much. There needs to be this the character where like a lady's doing like the sexy baby, but she commits too hard and is like, and I just went poop up my back. It's like ruins the whole thing.
Take this pot and shove it.